So it says baptisms. Everybody say baptisms. Then the next one here, he's saying laying on of hands. So there's a doctrine, a teaching in the church called laying on of hands. Why do we lay hands on people? We need to have people to lay hands on people, and you know, for different reasons, not just for prayer, but for other reasons. And so there's other things why you would lay hands on someone. And then resurrection from the dead, you know, we need to understand about resurrection. What does that mean? You know, resurrection is for us now, not because you're going to die physically, but there's something happens spiritually when you come to Jesus. You were resurrected from the dead, according to Scripture. If you came to Jesus Christ, when Jesus came up from that grave, you came out of the grave with him. The Scripture says when Jesus was on the cross, you went on the cross with him. When Jesus was whipped, when God whipped Jesus, laid our sin on him, and he suffered, we were on the cross with him. That's called identification. He identified with us, you know, on the cross. He took our sin on the cross. He became us on the cross. God laid this sin sacrifice on him. He became the sacrifice. And we were on the cross with him. He's the righteous Jesus. He never sinned. He became sin on the cross. But he handed you his righteousness. There was an exchange that happened. And so we identify with him. And so when he went down, and the Bible says he went down for 3 days, the Scripture says we went there with him spiritually. That's why Paul says, my old man, he's not talking about his dad. He says, my old man was crucified with Christ. In other words, your old nature, your sin nature was on the cross with Jesus. And we died there with Jesus. And we went down with Jesus. We went down for 3 days. The Bible says when the Holy Spirit came and got him on the third day, when he was raised up, we were raised with him. If you've never read your New Testament, it's all in there. We were raised up with Jesus. And when Jesus was placed on the right hand of the Father God, that's where we are right now. Spiritually speaking, you're right here right now. Don't get too far ahead. You're here right now. Physically, you're here physically. You're naturally here. But in the spiritual realm, that's where you are. Positionally, spiritually, that's where you are. You're at the right hand of the Father. That's why you have authority over demons. That's all, why you can pray over every problem and have victory over every problem. Not everybody sees that. And so that's where you are. You're with Jesus right now on the right hand of the Father, positionally. One day, you will have a brand new body. Everybody say, thank God. Thank God. Amen. Amen. Look at your neighbor in the face and say, thank God you'll have a new body. Thank God. Amen. Yeah. So thank God. You know, you're good looking now, but wait till you get resurrected. You'll be really good looking. Okay. Okay. So anyway. Thank you, Lord. Okay, so let's look at here Matthew 28:19. This is Jesus talking. He says, Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Jesus gave a command that we ministers should go and teach people and baptize them, make disciples, teach them how to live for God, teach them how to, as we said earlier, we gave you those doctrines, teach people about the resurrection, teach about baptism, teach about having faith, teach them how to grow up in the Lord, how to grow spiritually. Some people get born again when they're a teenager and never go to church again. Some people get born again when they're 40, never go to church again, never read the Bible, never studied about any subject in the Bible, and still the same way as they were before. They never grown very much, but they knew God. They know God, and God knows them, but they haven't really done very much with their spirituality. How many people know that your spirituality is your responsibility? Like, you're praying, you have to know how to pray for yourself. I don't have to do your praying for you. You do your own praying. That's why I joke around here, and I'm serious at the same time. Somebody said, pray for me. I said, no, you pray for yourself. I'm not being mean. I'm just trying to tell you it's your responsibility. If you told me, come and clean my house, I said, you clean your house. That's not my responsibility. Don't try to push my stuff from you to me, right? You don't say, Pastor Roma, come pay my bills. No, you pay your bills. Come comb my hair. No, you comb your hair. That's your job, right? So it's important that we recognize. So Jesus said, baptizing them. So what I'm doing today and what the ministers are doing today to baptizing some who requested it is because Jesus said to do it. You're obeying God to be baptized. I'm obeying God to baptize you. That's in obedience. Okay? If nobody gets baptized, then, you know, then we're not obeying, right? So, water baptism, here's the main idea tonight. Water baptism is a significant ordinance for every believer. It's our identification with the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when you go in that water and you go down in the water, underneath the water, and you come up, you're saying, I believe that Jesus died for me. He went down wherever he went. He went to hell. Or he went somewhere there. The Bible said he went to the lower parts. Some scriptures say he went to hell, Hades, wherever he went there. He went to a couple places. He went to Abraham's bosom. There's a place called Abraham's bosom where they kept people before, you know, it was called paradise. And Jesus went to get those people and took them to heaven with him when he went up. But that place doesn't exist anymore. But there's a place there where people are held. It's called, hell. Or I can't remember what the name is, but it's there. And one day that place will be thrown in the lake of fire, it says, along with everybody who rejects Jesus. That's what it says in the scripture. That's what I believe. But you never have to go there if you're born again. If you come to Jesus Christ on the cross, he said, I believe in Jesus. You know, to believe means I trust him. I rely on him. I depend on him. And I look to him. That's what it means to have trust in Jesus. Jesus on the cross took care of your salvation. All you have to do is believe in that Jesus and follow what he says. Turn away from your sin. I was 24 years old when I did that. I was watching Billy Graham. I was a college student. I went to church every Sunday. All my years as a kid, I went to church. My cousin here, Ed, is right there. Somebody thought it was me coming in today. Oh, Pastor Roma, hi. And he gave him a box of money, and he's got it right now. No, I'm just kidding. No. anyway, just kidding. But you see, Jesus took care of it for you. So he took care of your sin. So all you have to do is look at Jesus. Say, I believe that. How many people remember the story? If you don't know the story, excuse me, this might be new for you. When they were complaining in the desert when they came out of Israel, the Bible says that they were murmuring, the people were murmuring, and they were saying all kinds of stuff. And the Bible said there were snakes was released, and they started biting people and killing people, dying. People were dying because the snakes were biting them. And God told Moses, make a pole and put a snake on it. And the snake was there. Anybody who looks at that snake will live. You ever see the medical sign? They got a pole, and there's a snake there. You ever see that? That's the healing. Healing. Okay? That's Jesus became sin. That snake resembled sin and the devil, and it was put on the cross for you. And he became that for you. So when we identified with that, we became saved. So when I was a student, Billy Graham says, "You want peace with God? You want to go to heaven? You know, there's a story once Brother Higgin told us. This guy was telling people, you want to go to heaven? You want to go to heaven? He's telling people about getting saved, and you want to go to heaven? And the guy went up to one fellow. The guy says, you want to go to heaven? The guy says, no. Oh, you mean you want to go to heaven? He says, no, you mean right now. He said, I want to stay around here for a bit. He thought he was taking a group of people right now. But we can avoid that, we never have to worry about that other part ever again when we come to Jesus. That's why Billy Graham says, you want peace with God right now. As a church kid, went to church all my life, but I never had peace in my heart. I was always waiting for to go to church so that I could confess my sins to the priest. And I didn't have peace. I didn't know if I would go to heaven. I was thinking, I hope I could make it there. But I always remembered what's going to happen between that time. So they had funny doctrine. But they told me as a kid, when I was a kid, and this is the part that we need to talk about, and that is as a kid, that when I was a little bit of a baby, that if my parents took me to the church and they put water on my forehead, that means they baptized me. And that means that's when I got saved and I became into the church. I was baptized into the church and now I'm a child of God. But I never had peace until I met Jesus Christ. I was 24 years old as a college student. I went to church every day. I did community service. I worked for people. I helped people on the street, helped children. I helped alcoholic kids, and I used to run a program called Teens with Hope. And I was running children who had alcoholic parents. We would meet with them every Sunday night. We'd give them help through the steps. I did that for a few years, but myself, I didn't have peace still until I bowed my head and prayed. I said, Jesus, I have no peace. I believe you're the Son of God. And for the first time in my life, I confessed Jesus Christ publicly. I believe that Jesus on the cross was my Savior, and I asked Jesus to come in my heart. I bowed my head. I said, Jesus, I believe you're the Savior of the world. Come in my heart. I believe I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. And right at that moment, something happened. In a second, I began to cry and weep almost uncontrollably, and it felt so good. And I heard the devil say to me, you're having a nervous breakdown, and you're crying, and you're going crazy. But I said, oh, but it felt so good. I want to be crazy. Oh, wonderful. He couldn't stop it. So I was born again ever since that day. I became a righteous person in Jesus. I didn't become perfect in human nature, but in my spirit, I was perfect in God. That's how I became perfect. So that's my story. Billy Graham told me to get born again. So I got born again. So many believers do not understand the significance of water baptism. They've never been taught what baptism really means. And water baptism is a foundational teaching for every believer to know about. It is also a command for the church to follow after they get saved, after salvation. Let's look at some of what the scriptures say. So the Greek word, the Greek New Testament word for baptism is the Greek word baptizo. It's spelled like this, B-A-P-T-I-Z-O. Phonetically, this is how you pronounce it, baptizo. So that's the best I can do for you. Baptizo. Everybody say baptizo. So I think I'm going to change my name to baptizo. Now, what's his name? He changed his name to Roma Baptizo. It means, I like what it says here. This is the Greek New Testament word. It means to dip repeatedly. So we're going to take you and do this to you. We're going to rough you up a little bit. If you have a few bruises on your chest, let's say we were baptized. They're rugged up there at Faith City. To dip repeatedly. Here, I like this one. To immerse. Okay, it didn't say to sprinkle, to splash on you, but to immerse. That means to put you in other words. And there's another word that means to submerge, to put you under. Not even a fingernail can be sticking out and put you right in. Okay, every part of you. You understand I'm joking about this, right? But it means it's to go into the water and come out. So So in discussing water baptism, we're not speaking about it from any kind of denominational standpoint. But every denomination should understand this, such as some denominations don't do this. They just kind of sprinkle you. And I guess it's symbolically they're doing it. So we won't mention about them. But that's the way it is. Okay? That's what it means anyway. So we are approaching it from a standpoint of what the Bible says about water baptism and what the New Testament says. The original language in the Greek, it means that. So notice our text says a baptism, which is one fundamental principle of the foundation of something. Okay, so according to Scripture, Hebrews 6, chapter 6, we read earlier, verses 1 to 2, it's a primary principle of Christ's church. It's a basic principle that we need to understand what is baptism. Some people think about baptism, they only know one word, and they don't understand the rest of those things, so they get things confused. Some scriptures talk about baptism to be saved, but he's talking about baptism in the Spirit. When Jesus, when you came to Jesus Christ for salvation, the Holy Spirit took your spirit, spiritually, you can't see this, he took your spirit and put you into the body of Christ, the spiritual body of Christ, which is all over the world. And he put you into that body, spiritually. That's what the word baptism means, he put you in. So the Holy Spirit does that. When you come, we say, Jesus, I receive you as my Lord. I confess you. You're my. And the moment you say that, the Holy Spirit takes you, recreates your spirit, and puts you into the body of Christ. And you become a new person, a new person. Your past is wiped out. All your sins are wiped away. And everything you do from then on will be forgiven when you walk by faith and when you walk by, you know, obedience to Christ. So that's a good thing to know, right? So there are three baptisms. There are three essential baptisms. There's a lot of baptisms people call baptism by fire, but we want to talk about three main things we should understand about baptism. Every believer should be aware of. So, three kinds of baptism. The first kind of baptism, as I mentioned, is being put into the body of Christ when you first believed and accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. This is the first and foremost important baptism you will ever have to understand. It's when the Holy Spirit takes your old spirit, makes it brand new, and makes you into a new person, and puts you into the spiritual body of Christ. This is a supernatural experience. This is a spiritual experience. It's not a mental experience. It's not a physical experience, but a spiritual one. It's referred to us more than one or two times in the Scriptures. It's called being born again. This is called the baptism into the body of Christ. Let me give you a scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, the King James Version. For by one Spirit, that's Holy Spirit, are we all baptized into one body? He's talking about the spiritual body of Christ. He's not talking about a church, a denomination. He's talking about the spiritual body of Christ. You know, the church people, whether you're Presbyterian and you're born again, whether you're a Catholic and you're born again, whether you're a Baptist and you're born again, whether you're, you know, whatever you are, Pentecostal, you know, if you're born again, you're in that body. Because you could be in a church and not ever be born again. You could go through rituals like I did. I went through rituals. I was not born again. I thought I was a Christian. Spiritually, I was a Christian in the sense that I was going to church, but I was not Christian on the inside. I was doing certain things. I prayed every day, all my life, ever since I was a kid, but I still never had peace. Every religion prays. Every religion prays. Every religion believes something. But Jesus said, I'm the way. I'm the only way. And so, we put our faith in Christ. So by one Spirit, are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we've all been made to drink into one Spirit. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 is another scripture, as this tells the same thing. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ. He's not talking about water baptism. This is not okay. I've sprinkled you in the name of Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is not, that's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about putting you into the body, water, and baptizing you. This is not talking about that. He's talking about spiritual baptism when you receive Jesus. So, when you're baptized into Jesus Christ, you were baptized into his death. You know, you died with Jesus, the Bible says. When you were on the cross, you died with him. The scripture said, when Jesus was on the cross, remember when Jesus said, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? At that moment, the Bible says that God, the scripture says, the prophet says, Isaiah said, God turned his back on his son, Jesus, and he was separated from his father for you and me, which would happen if we died without him. And he separated himself. And the Bible says that Jesus died on the cross and he gave up his spirit for us to go down. He went down alone, taking our place, taking our nature with him, and went down for 3 days. And I don't know what he did down there. Doesn't say very much about it, but we know this, all the scripture says that's what happened to him. The prophet says, the psalmist says he went down. Is that enough scripture or one more? Romans 6:3. Your Honor, I will rest. I'll give you three indications here for my case. Romans 6:3 says, Knew ye not that many of us were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death? That's good. It's very consistent with the other scriptures. The second baptism we need to understand. So the first one is the Spirit baptism. The Holy Spirit took you. Everybody say, Holy Spirit took me. Put me into the body of Christ. He baptized me into that. Immersed me into it. So that's where I am right now. So you're identified with Jesus. Now, number two, the second baptism is we need to become familiar with is being baptized in water, which we are doing tonight. Everybody say, thank God. This example, we're going to show an example where Philip, the evangelist, baptized the eunuch who was seeking salvation and later gets water baptized. Acts chapter 8, verse 34 to 36, reading from verse 34. Are we there? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet of this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. As they went on their way and they came to a certain water, the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? The Bible says even Jesus himself was baptized in the water by his cousin John the Baptist and the prophet of God. You know, John the Baptist and Jesus were cousins. It's like me and Ed are cousins. I'm going to baptize him tonight. Now where is he? He's gone. He doesn't want to be baptized. Anyway. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 and 17. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized by him. See, Jesus came to be baptized by John. I wouldn't say baptized by Jordan in the John. I almost read it that way. But John forbade him, saying, John says, wait a minute, Jesus. I know you're my cousin, but he forbade him. He's saying, I have no to be baptized of thee. And you're coming to me, he says. Verse 15 says this. And Jesus answered, said to him, suffer it to be for now. For thus said, becometh of us to fulfill all righteousness. So Jesus said, this is the right thing to do. I need to be baptized. This is the way to fulfill the scriptures. He's showing us, you and me, what to do. How to follow this. And he was baptized, verse 16 says, and he went straightway out of the water, And lo, the heavens opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Luke chapter 3:21, the King James says this. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. To further establish the baptism in water, we see Acts chapter 10, verse 47, and Peter preached Jesus, and the Holy Spirit said, and here Acts chapter 10, 47, can any man forbid water, he says, right, that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as he. In other words, here's something that maybe you haven't read every day. He says, these guys needed to be baptized, but these guys here, he's talking about, were baptized in with the Holy Spirit, which we'll look at next. But they got they were saved, and they got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and they, you know, we spoke with tongues. And the Bible says these guys need to be baptized in water. I've seen people who were filled with, who got baptized in water, you know, and I've heard people as well. They come out of the water speaking in tongues, and also got healed from their sickness. All at the same time. Billy Graham says in his crusades, people were, these mass crusades, who come forward to receive Jesus were healed at the same time. Jesus identified everything. He said, you know, to the man, he said, who was an invalid man, he says, your sins are forgiven, to a sick man who was invalid. And they said, well, who could ever forgive sins, the religious people said. Jesus said, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to show you. You get up from that floor right now, pick up your mat and go home. The man was healed instantly. But he was forgiven his sins too at the same time. So this can happen. It's going to happen to you right now, tonight. The third one, everybody say the third one. Say thank God. So the third baptism we should all consider important is the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which we just talked about in a second. Okay? John the Baptist said about what he was doing and what Jesus would do for believers after salvation. And he said he'll totally fill you with the Spirit. Now, okay, so the first thing is that the Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ. The second thing is man or humans baptize you in water. That's the second baptism. Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body, spiritual body of Christ. The second one, humans or the church or man baptizes you in water to identify you with Jesus. And the third baptism that I want to just spend just a little time with you is this one in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. He said, here's the man, the prophet, John the Baptist saying, in talking about Jesus and the Holy Ghost, he says, I indeed baptize you in water. In other words, man or the church, anybody in the church who's, you know, it could be a woman, I guess. Man, I baptize you in water unto repentance, to show repentance, to show your repentance. But he that's coming after me, he's talking about Jesus, is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He, in other words, Jesus, shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So here we see three baptisms. Number one, Holy Spirit baptizes you into the spiritual body of Christ. Secondly, the church or man baptizes you in water to show that you repented of your sins. Thirdly, Jesus baptizes you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Those are three baptisms that you should know about. I was baptized with the Holy Spirit. I was a Catholic. My friend, who is a Christian man, came to me and said, you know, I can pray for you. You can receive the Holy Spirit tonight, right now. I said, no, you can't do that. Get your hands off me. I'm a Catholic, and I'm going to go to my priest to get this. But my priest never talked about it, and I don't know why. Maybe he didn't know anything about it because some, you know, everybody, we don't know everything. Every priest and every minister doesn't know everything. Sometimes they don't know, and they don't do it because they don't know. And so I said, no, you know, I said, you know, he says to me, I know you're a Catholic, but you know what? In the 120 disciples, they were in the upper room, and Mary, you know, who's really a devout Catholic apparently, No, I'm just kidding. She, you know, people revered Mary. And he says to me, this friend of mine says to me, you know, Mary was baptized. She was one of 120 who received this baptism, and she spoke with tongues. 120 of them. They were right there. He said, you should get that too. I said, yeah, I believe I can get that. I believe that if it's there in the Bible, if it's for me, I'll take it. I said, let me pray for it 1 month. It took me that long. I'm going to pray 1 month. I'll pray every night. So I literally prayed every night. I went on my knees. I remember camping one day. I was camping in the bush and working. I was actually working in Nipigon, and I was working out there. And I was camping, but I didn't have a place to stay. So I camped, and I went to work for my camp. And I was kneeling on the ground, and I was praying, "Dear Jesus, dear God, if this baptism of the Holy Ghost, I want it. If it's for you, if it's for us too, I'll take it." I prayed like that every day. So I met this fellow again, and he says to me, "Why don't you come to church tonight? We got a guest speaker coming. He's at that time we didn't know him. Benny Hinn's pastor. He's in town. He's preaching at this one church. You want to come over and, let's just go listen to him." I said, "Oh, man, this is like it's 6 o'clock. I don't know if I should go. It's a Sunday night. I got to go to work tomorrow. I got to go. It's eight hours from Kenora at that time." And so this is going back to Kenora. And I went to the church in the Sunday morning and then the Sunday night. And Sunday morning, the man says to me, he points to me. I was in the second row of that church. He comes by and he points to me. He says, "Young man, you've been seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you come tonight, and you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit." I said, "Who told us? Who told him that? Who told him I was seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit? How does he know about that?" Well, I understand today. My friend never told him anything about that. He walked in with me, never talked to him. And I started experiencing these kinds of the leading of the Spirit, and I understand that God will reveal through His gifts. True man of God or a saint of God, something that was, it's called the gifts of the Spirit. It's called revelation knowledge. And when he said that, my spirit inside me jumped up inside me, like, whew, like this, you know? It was not a feeling. It was a spiritual something. It's a spiritual knowing. It was like, yes. You know, when you read the scripture where the scripture says that Mary, the mother of Jesus, went to visit Elizabeth, I think it was in her 6 month in her pregnancy, and she visited her cousin John the Baptist's mom, and she knocked on the door and she greeted her cousin. And when she greeted him, "Hello," and the Bible says the spirit inside her leaped inside of her. Well, that's happened to me in my spirit, like a real big witness on the inside of me. This is it. When the man spoke to me, something happened to me. And how did that guy know? That wasn't the only time that happened to me. Like another time that happened to me, there was a man coming through here one time, and I was going to a full gospel businessman. And we were at supper time, went for a supper dinner one night. And the guest speaker at that meeting, I'm sitting around in the we're going to pray for a supper. And then we all prayed, and we all bowed our heads. And the man said to me, "I want to tell you something." And he spoke a word to me that I was going through something, that I was making some decision. He said this to me. I said, "Well, how does he know about that?" Well, it's called discerning spirit, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. So thank God, God begins to show me spiritually. I begin to have these experiences. But baptism in the Holy Spirit will help someone get more sensitive to the Spirit and hear God more. We're not asking anybody to get weird. But these things are true. You know? Like some people, they get weird when they get into the spiritual realm. You know? We don't want that, right? You know? There's a lady here came by today. She wanted to check our church. She knocked on the door, came to the office. She said, I want to walk around the building. I'm highly sensitive. And she started doing this. I said, what are you doing? I'm just feeling. I said, you know, that's a little strange. So, anyways, we had to tell her to leave, and she was mad at me because she wants to feel the feeling around here. I don't know why. So I hope she's not from your church. I said, I dealt with some people like that before, but we all got them fixed up now. You know, I had a friend, another person phone up today and called me, you know. She, I really need some help. I said, okay, sure. We help people. Said, I used to go to church way back. I said, okay. And she started talking to me. She said, oh, I remember that voice. Well, I said, the Bible says the sheep knows my voice. And she started laughing. And we had a great time. But, you know, people want to get connected to Jesus. Been away from church, need to come back to church. You know, get connected. Get plugged in. So it says here, Mark chapter 1, verse 8. You understand what I've just said? A lot of it has nothing to do with the baptism, right? So you don't have to put that on. We have editing programs on here. So Mark chapter 1, verse 8. So don't write all that down. Mark chapter 8, chapter 1, verse 8. Mark reiterates here what Matthew said. He says, I indeed baptize you, Jesus says. John, with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Jesus talked about that in Acts 1:8, right? Luke chapter 3, verse 16, John answered, saying unto them, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, whose latchet of shoes I'm not worthy to unloose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So, in summary, Holy Ghost baptizes you into the universal body of believers at salvation. Secondly, man baptizes you in water after salvation to identify you with Jesus Christ. Thirdly, Jesus baptizes you with the Holy Spirit to serve him with power. We haven't really taught on it tonight, but we're just mentioning it so that you understand the three baptisms. So we're gonna obey. We're gonna be baptized in a few minutes here, and we're gonna do this because Jesus, the head of the church, asked us to do this. Asked me to do this as a minister, as a church leader, to do that. So let me just quickly say this. Summarize something else here. Who should be baptized? Everyone who accepts Jesus Christ as their personal Savior should be baptized. And anyone who repents of their sins. You say, I turn away from my sins. I'm turning away from the way I'm living. I want to follow Jesus. I want to follow Christ. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 3, verse 36. As they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What does prevent me or hinder me from being baptized? Well, evidently nothing. Verse 37, Philip said, if you believe, this is the question for everyone that's being baptized. If you believe with all your heart, you may. Believe what? Believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son and that he went on that cross and he died for you and he rose up from the dead. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now, interceding for you, praying for you, standing for you, in front of the Father God. If you ever fall, he says, I died for that person. If you ever wander off and you come back, he's there for you. He's always there for you. Jesus said unto them, go into all the world, Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Here's something else you can do. People who walked away from Jesus, went back right into the world and live you know, against the gospel, against the live like the devil and live the way any way he wants, those people can be baptized again. It says here, Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, Jesus said. I got something against you. He's talking to the church, someone here in the church. Because you have left your first love. He's talking to the church. He said, I got this against you. As you once loved me and you went away from me. Verse 5, remember from whence you are fallen. He's talking about the way he was living. He was once saved. He went away. Because he says in there, repent and do your first work. Do your first works or else I'll come quickly and I'll remove your candlestick out of this place except you repent. In other words, you can't just walk away and say, Jesus, forget it. I want to live for myself. I want to live for the devil. You can't do that. You got to live for God every day. So anybody who's walked away from God, you can come to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Don't just say, I'm sorry. Just say, I repent. I'm changing my ways. You know? So, because it's, you know, you could cry all you want, but it doesn't mean anything. So, a very fundamental question. Can babies be baptized? Somebody asked me, phoned here today, said, you know what? Do you have any baptism records of babies? We don't have one baptism record of one baby. I don't remember ever baptizing one baby. Just baby Christians. And then some of them are 45 years old. How many baby Christians we got here? You're mature, right? Okay, you're very mature. The simple answer is no. Babies don't need to be baptized because they don't need to repent. Babies don't know how to repent. They don't know anything. The Bible says repent and be baptized. How could a baby, a nine-month-old baby, jump off a crib? Right? Right? I want to be baptized. Googa gaga. They can't. They don't know. They don't know anything about being baptized. Right? I was watching one of these films. What is this thing they show? These crazy videos. This guy just took a baby and whipped him in the water and back. So, babies, okay, babies don't need to be baptized. In many denominations, they baptize babies. I was a part of that group at one point. Babies are to be dedicated to the Lord, just like Jesus parents dedicated him. And for commitment, baby dedication is for the parents to make a decision that I will train this child up for God. That's what baby dedication is for. It's not like, you know, the child knows what to do. No, the parent says, I'm bringing this baby to dedicate him to you, Lord. I'm going to bring him to church. I'm going to read him scripture. I'm going to pray with my kids. I'm going to show him the Bible. And, you know, send him to church camp. No, you don't have to go to church camp. Babies cannot repent. They're not cognizant of sin or sinning. They don't need to be illuminated for that. So here's what it says. Romans chapter 7, verse 8. About this refers to people who don't know anything. Like a 10-year-old kid, 9-year-old kid, sometimes depends on what light they have, right? They don't even know they're doing wrong. In fact, let me tell you, the Ten Commandments shows us where we're wrong. If you never knew the Ten Commandments, how would you ever know you're wrong? No one's ever lived the Ten Commandments to the full. They're there. Their rules are there. If there's no Ten Commandments, some of you wouldn't have been alive. Somebody would have killed you by now. You know, so there's it says don't Don't thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit, you know, all these kind of things. It's all in there. And the Bible says they're there to show us how imperfect we are. Right? So here, Paul says in Romans 7, 9, he says, I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. He's talking about dying spiritually. That's why Jesus said, you must be born again. Born again. And if you see the third chapter, the discussion between Jesus and the rabbi there, he said, how can man be born again when he's old? He was talking about spiritual birth. So being born again is a spiritual experience, not a mental experience or a physical experience. So we want to just give you that for a reason. So I'm not going to tell you about, you know, all the other things about formal baptism. You know, we're going to put you in the water, and you make your confession of faith and put you down and come back out. And Pastor Steve is here. He's going to give you instructions. He's somewhere here in the building. If not, I think he's probably in the water right now. trying it out. Taking a dive, backflip. Back. Oh, excuse me. Anyways, I hope you enjoyed this. Anybody enjoyed this? Well, I had a great time tonight. Let's all stand. We're going to pray one prayer. And we do have T-shirts for everyone. They're $59.99 each. Okay. Lord, we want to thank you tonight for the special night that we're enjoying together with those that are being baptized. It is such a special night. They'll remember this for the rest of their lives, how special this is for their families to come with them. And the family churches to encourage them. We thank you for that opportunity, Lord, to do this together. And so we pray for them as they make their way to the water to be baptized, to say, I believe in Jesus. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he died for me and he rose again from the dead. And he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son, their God. And he did it all for me. I put my faith on him. I rely on him. I trust him for my salvation totally. I don't have to be saved to be baptized, but I'm saved to be baptized. Thank you. Thank you for this free gift of salvation and this opportunity to be a witness and to tell myself I'm dead to the world. I'm dead to my sins. I'm telling myself that first. And if anybody else sees me, I'm telling them that I believe in Jesus, that I've died with him, I rose with him, I'm sitting with him, I'm going to live with him. I made that decision today. Thank you. And if there's other people that are watching online, those that are here, if they want to do this together, do it again, they will do the same. We praise you and thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen.